First You Think is a not-for-profit ministry of the First Unitarian Church of Des Moines. Support us at ucdsm.org today.
Those of you who were here for Heidi's sermon back on June 11th got a review of my UU history, and her introduction provided reminders and more details. That first congregation, the Unitarian Society of Germantown in Philadelphia, has a remarkable history. And they are, coincidentally, in the middle of a two-year interim ministry themselves. Founded in 1865, the congregation is only 12 years older than ours. But even at the point that Heidi and I joined in the late 1980s, long-timers spoke of the ministry of Reverend Max Dascom, hired as the U.S. entered World War II and remaining for 22 years until 1964. He was revered as a minister who did regular home visits, started a civil rights committee, built membership to 700 with an overflowing religious education program, and accomplished many other wonders. Yes, that Max Dascom was one remarkable preacher who could do everything. Everything, apparently, except preach. You see, Max's most notable legacy was the institution of something called the Ecumenical Pulpit, which involved a remarkable parade of guest speakers of the time, including Adlai Stevenson, Reinhold Niebuhr, Paul Tillich, Howard Thurman, Karl Barth, and in the last year of his life, prior to being slain in Selma, James Reeb. Wow, indeed. I remember that on a few occasions, I got to stand in the pulpit, next to which was a plaque that is still there today, inscribed with the words, "The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. preached from this pulpit on Sunday, December 11, 1960. Oh my God, it still gives me chills to remember that. How did that tradition of perpetual guest speakers come about? It seemed back in 1942, that congregation, in grief at the end of the life of longtime ministry of Reverend William Sullivan, just could not find any other Unitarian ministers up to the lofty sermon standards of Reverend Sullivan. So, rather than hire someone and nurture and support their ministry and encourage their sermonizing, they gave up and hired ringers at what must have been a pretty steep cost, managed by a caretaker-slash-booking agent in Reverend Dascom, who preached rarely but provided what was apparently an extraordinary level of pastoral care and other aspects of leadership. By the way, Reverend Sullivan, he of unparalleled sermonizing, had died 7 years before the hiring of Max Dascom. So they went through a series of ministerial auditions of folks who just fell short of expectations, and all the while, the church's membership languishing in the throes of the Great Depression. We all know that ministers come and go. A Pew Foundation survey last year among all U.S. religion denominations about attitudes toward new clergy found that the number one reason people don't like their new minister, and second wasn't even close, the number one reason people don't like their new minister is they aren't the old minister. Okay, I made that up, but I don't doubt that a real survey would come to a similar conclusion. For us here at First Unitarian in Des Moines, in a couple of years, as plans stand now, we'll have a new settled minister. Now, you may find that you aren't really liking the new minister after a while, or once they start, or before they start, when you find out they aren't the gender, race, or ethnicity, or age you had hoped for, or you approve of their ethnicity, but their appearance doesn't match your view of what a person of that ethnicity should look like. If so, here's the suggestion. Instead of checking around to see who's sharpening their pitchfork or dipping a torch in kerosene, look for people around you who are smiling, those who seem at least metaphorically to be snapping their fingers and dancing to the style, words, and actions of the new minister. Ask them what they see that you don't. What interactions have they had that make them see the minister differently than you do? And appreciate that they are indeed meeting at least some of our needs. In her final sermon here, Reverend Victoria Safford implored us to heed the advice of Jesus and others to love with heart, mind, soul, and strength, and let go of your need for results and perfection. She went on to say, it is hubris to believe we can control anything. Love anyway, shine anyway. Do you realize that per the definition of membership adopted at this spring's annual membership, 292 members have left the congregation since Reverend Mark Stringer, since his departure through death, relocation, and assorted other personal decisions? This number would be more alarming, except that it is in line with what's happened across most denominations between the pre- and post-pandemic worlds. This means that over half of who we were in 2017 are not part of the current membership. In that same time frame, the congregation has gained 72 members, meaning that one in nine of who we are today never heard Mark Stringer speak. We heard a lot about pronouns, including we, back on July 9th, from Nancy Harris. I'll get back to that, but let me first do a quick review of our own recent ministerial history as a refresher for those who've been here the whole time and an update for those who have not. Since the end of Reverend Stringer's ministry, the congregation has had an interim minister, a settled minister, a contract minister, and we are about to begin a new two-year chapter with Reverend Meredith Garman. I've done a little research, and here's what I know about those who filled these roles. Reverend Stringer moved on to a job as the state director of the ACLU, a much more powerful platform for progressive advocacy and change than this pulpit could ever offer. Most were sad to see Mark go. Most, but not everyone. Over his 16 years of service here, many came because of him, but no doubt some left because Mark wasn't what they thought we needed, or at least not what they needed. Reverend Jennifer Brooks was with us for 2 years as interim following Mark Stringer. Reverend Jen moved on to serve as developmental minister at the UU congregation at Shelter Rock in New York. And after 4 years in that role, she's now moving on to an interim role at the UU Fellowship of Harford County in Maryland. When Reverend Brooks left, some were sad to see her go, some were ready to move on, but all wished her well. Some walked away during Jen's time with us, but others came and are still here. Next, Reverend Amy Petrie Shaw joined us as our called settled minister. The congregation that constituted we at that time approved the decision to call them overwhelmingly. Alas, for myriad reasons, that ministry ended in 2022. Since last summer, Reverend Petrie Shaw has been serving the UU congregation in Venice, Florida, following the 8-year ministry of that congregation's first settled minister. And they continue there as the congregation moves into search mode for a settled minister. When Amy left, some mourned, some were relieved, and we all wondered what was next. Again, some members left the congregation during Reverend Petrie Shaw's time here, while others were drawn to us and are still here. At the point of Reverend Amy's departure, it was too late in the denomination's ministerial matching process to find an interim. The board was in constant contact with the UUA to figure out what we needed and then hope someone might meet that still vague description and be willing to come to Des Moines. In hockey terms, at that point, what we were hoping for was a third line forward who could kill penalties. What we deserved was a late draft pick or player to be named later. What we got, folks, was Wayne Friggin Gretzky. Following a brief retirement, Reverend Victoria Safford resumed her ministry here for a year in a form and under a title that we in the UUA made up. Many, many tears were shed earlier this summer at Victoria's final service. I've not heard anyone that did not enjoy Reverend Safford's sermons, but surely someone was disappointed and felt her ministry did not measure up. And here we are now, on the cusp of a new two-year interim ministry with Reverend Meredith Garman. This is what I know about Reverend Garman. He's been a minister at 3 congregations in 3 states over the past 2 decades. I also know this about his ministerial history. Many people have loved his sermons, his pastoral and management styles, and no doubt his taste in shoes. Other people have not. Most have found him thoughtful, engaging, possessing great leadership qualities, and generally an asset to the congregation and denomination. But others not so much. The former camp probably contained some who said, "He's just what we needed," while the latter said among themselves, "Turns out he's not at all what we wanted." In her sermon last month, Nancy Harris suggested we as a congregation be intentional in focusing on pronouns, including we, as part of a common language about what could happen here, pointing out that we are committed to positive action, to encouraging each other, to extending the positive climate we currently own, to finding answers rather than finding fault. But whoever makes up the we now in this new chapter and beyond, it is worth keeping in mind that this congregation has existed for almost a century and a half. The collective decades of we, dead and living, has been one continuous community, fighting injustices, supporting progressive issues of the times, such as women's suffrage, civil rights, gay rights, protesting unjust wars. We've changed internal policies that were sexist, racist, homophobic, or just plain outdated. In recent times, we housed a human who was deemed illegal by many, provided hospitality to dozens of families who would otherwise be homeless, and hosted a statewide conference for folks whose existence is under constant attack. All of this went on among the we, who at the same time were bickering over budgets, arguing about signage and placement of poinsettias in the auditorium, debating whether this is in fact an auditorium or a sanctuary, disagreeing about whether or not to add Universalist to the congregation's name, and yes, grumbling about or exalting sermons and sermonizers in sometimes courteous and sometimes disrespectful and hurtful fashion, seeking to create buy-in and consensus too often in matters where neither is needed nor even possible. So let's be we. Not in the details and minutiae, which inevitably lead to disagreement, but in the things that matter, working to heal this hurting and beautiful world and being there for each other and for those who've yet to walk through our doors. Next spring, if we stick to the current plan, which we may not, will we really be ready? Who knows? The congregation will select a new search committee for a settled minister. I understand the UUA is taking a look at the search committee model that we followed a few years ago, and that has been in place for a long time, though obviously not as far back as the 1930s, when those Philadelphia Unitarians I spoke of earlier were floundering. But in any case, we'll need a committee, and I imagine some of those folks are sitting here this morning. I say some because I hope at least one of them we haven't met yet. Whoever makes up that committee, it will take all of us, we, to help them discern the set of qualities most needed here in the next settled minister. There will be meetings, surveys, small and large gatherings, workshops, and probably potlucks as part of the process. It will be important for all of us to participate in as many of those as possible, providing our honest, authentic selves via conversation, surveys, and actions will be critical. In fact, this will be the second most important thing we can do to prepare for the future of the congregation and the next settled ministry. The most important thing we can do during that time is to prepare to be disappointed. Not really disappointed, like you're at the airport waiting to board a jet, taking you to your child's wedding and your flight gets canceled, or the person you were sure would become your one true love was not interested in you in the least. But maybe you'll be a little disappointed that the minister used an example to illustrate their point that was different from the one you thought would be perfect, or that they picked a closing hymn that you don't like, or that their taste in shoes falls short of that of Reverend Garments. A little disappointed, or maybe a lot. The overwhelming feeling of that moment should be celebration, and may we all be ready to welcome the new settled minister and whatever gifts they bring. Those of us who were here during Reverend Stringer's ministry will remember him reminding us that what is important isn't whether or not we are disappointed by the service or sermon, but that even if we are disappointed, we keep coming back. Also remember the lesson Sally Bocholt reminded us of in late June when she shared the story from years ago of the campaign to change the name of the church, about how disappointed and even hurt she was at first before listening to others whose point of view she came to appreciate and eventually embrace. Whoever that settled minister is, she or he or they will not be perfect. Well, neither will we. Whoever we are at that point. Some will be excited and view this as the best ministry of their lives. Others will not see much they like in the settled minister. But remember another thing which Sally reminded us earlier this summer. We are always better together. Together, at least, in what matters. And may it be so. May we make it so.